Hello and welcome back to Shoes Myths on Tap, the podcast where we talk to each other and to you about what's going on in the world of pensions. I'm Kim Widdemer, a professional support lawyer in the Shoes Myths pensions team, and I'm joined today by my colleague and a now familiar voice on this podcast, partner Julian Richards.
Hello everyone, and welcome to today's episode. So, Kim, what's on the agenda for today?
Well, Julian, with all the activity in the recent months surrounding the Pension Schemes Act, we're starting to worry if the industry had forgotten about our former flavour of the month, GMP equalisation. But thankfully, our concerns were put to rest last week when the Pensions Administration Standards Association, which we'll refer to as PASA today, published its guidance on GMP conversion.
Ah, yes. I think we'd be hard-pressed to forget about GMP equalisation, much as many of us might rather like to sometimes.
Indeed. It's certainly been quite the saga, and there's still so much to say about it. I'm pretty sure we could devote a whole episode of this podcast just to explaining the concept of GMPs or guaranteed minimum pensions, to give them their full name, and what led to the need to equalise them in the first place.
I'm sure we could, Kim. But fortunately for everyone listening, I think it's probably sufficient for today's episode to recap that the basis on which GMPs historically accrued was discriminatory on the grounds of sex. And so that basis now needs to be adjusted retrospectively, or equalized, as we say, in order to remove that discrimination. As you know, in the recent, not that recent now actually, 2018 Lloyds Bank case, the court came up with four broad methods for equalisation, known in the industry as methods A to D, which schemes could adopt to adjust benefits to offset unequal GMPs. Some of those methods require calculations between a male and female comparator in order to pay the better of benefit each year, or to provide an uplift to either male or female benefits over time. The methodologies essentially require the trustees to manage a dual pension record system, which means regular benefit checks, which of course can be administratively complicated. An alternative method offered by the court was GMP conversion, referred to as method D2, which allows trustees and employers to convert GMPs to actuarially equivalent ordinary scheme benefits. The potential benefit of conversion is that it removes the need to monitor and compare male and female benefits going forwards, provided certain conditions are met.
Well, the concept of GMP conversion existed before the Lloyds Bank case, though, didn't it, Julian? I think that litigation, as you rightly said, came to a head in 2018, but conversion's been permitted by the legislation since 2009, I think, when the Pension Schemes Act 1993 was amended to allow for it. So converting GMPs isn't just a solution for GMP equalisation. It does have other benefits, like simplifying scheme design and administration, for instance. Given that the legislative process to convert GMPs has been established for quite some time now, you would think, in theory at least, it should be fairly simple to add GMP equalisation into that equation. As with anything, though, the theory is often quite different to the practice, which I sense might be why PASA had to issue this new guidance in the first place.
I think that's right, Kim. Conversion is a potentially useful GMP equalisation solution for a lot of schemes, and the new guidance itself highlights a whole host of additional benefits, including, as you just mentioned, reduced administration costs and complexity, but also things like reducing the cost of an insurer buyout and removing restrictions on member options exercise. But all that being said, conversion isn't without its challenges. In order to do it, formerly contracted out schemes must have their rules amended so that they omit the statutory requirement to provide GMPs, and that can only be done if five conditions are met. The conditions which are set out in legislation and reflected in the new PASA guidance are, firstly, that post-conversion benefits must be at least actuarially equivalent to the pre-conversion benefits. Secondly, that pensions in payment must not reduce as a result of the change. Thirdly, that post-conversion benefits must not include money purchase benefits. Fourthly, that there must be a minimum contingent survivors benefit. And finally, that procedural requirements set out in legislation must be complied with, and they include employer consent, member consultation and notification, and of course, notification to HMRC.
And this isn't the first time we've seen guidance in relation to GMP equalisation, either in general or specifically in relation to GMP conversion. The DWP, PASA and HMRC have all issued notes in the past. This time around, PASA are saying that its new guidance has been prepared to help show schemes how they might implement GMP conversion in a proportionate and pragmatic way, in the absence, for now at least, of further guidance or legislation from both the DWP and HMRC. But it sounds to me a bit like the guidance repeats what we already know from the legislation, albeit perhaps in a more digestible way. Is there anything new or particularly useful in this guidance, do you think, Julian?
I think what is helpful about this guidance in particular is the inclusion of some pretty detailed and practical examples, which PASA says reflects the approaches taken or considered by schemes which were early adopters of GMP conversion. The guidance doesn't advocate a particular course of action, because that what works for one scheme might not necessarily work for another. But PASA has identified three common situations where GMP conversion is used and might be appropriate for other schemes. So in the case of a one-off bulk exercise for pensioners and dependents, in an at-retirement process, or in a one-off bulk exercise for deferred members.
Whatever the reasons for choosing GMP conversion, one of the most troublesome issues for trustees has always been tax, and HMRC hasn't been particularly forthcoming when it comes to guidance in this area. In fact, if I remember correctly, HMRC said last autumn that it didn't expect to release any new guidance at all on tax in the short term, and in the current state of the world, who knows what short term is. Does the PASA guidance offer any further thoughts on that?
Well, the guidance acknowledges that pensions taxation is a tricky business, and even more so when it comes to GMP conversion. It does go into some detail on some particular areas of concern, namely the annual allowance and fixed and enhanced protection in relation to the lifetime allowance. But as the guidance suggests, these are potentially tricky issues, and professional advice is probably necessary. Nonetheless, the guidance sets out a number of worked examples which incorporate annual and lifetime allowance issues, which for some schemes will no doubt prove to be a pretty useful comparison.
That does sound pretty helpful, but presumably the guidance has no statutory footing. So whilst it might explain things a little bit more clearly, the complications surrounding tax in the context of GMP conversion, they still remain.
Unfortunately so. But from a broader perspective, the PASA guidance does look like a helpful development for those schemes considering GMP conversion, and will hopefully help drive those projects forwards. Of course, the guidance is not an exhaustive list of options for approaches to GMP conversion, and PASA makes that very clear. So there could be other considerations and options available for different schemes, but this certainly seems like a good start.
Well, for now then, I suppose it's once again, as is often the case in relation to GMP equalisation, a bit of a case and wait and see. But I agree, it does seem like the PASA guidance, and in particular the tangible examples it sets out, they offer schemes a more comfortable starting point than perhaps was available to them before.
Agreed. There's a clear path, but each scheme's motivations for adopting GMP conversion will doubtless be different, as will be the issues faced by those schemes in the process. As more and more projects get off the ground, I sense we will find more and more to talk about. So we might find ourselves back here talking about this again in the not too distant future.
I'm sure. Until then, I think that's about all we have time for today. So, Julian, thanks for joining me, and thank you everyone for listening. Remember, if you want to find out more about the Shoesmiths Pensions team and the work we do, please visit us at www.shoesmiths.co.uk/expertise/services/pensions. And if you have any questions for us, please send them to us at pensionspsl@shoesmiths.co.uk. Thanks. Bye.